With your Bible still open at Romans chapter 6, if you haven't already opened there, and take a look at your bulletin, you'll find there's an outline in there. As you're going to see, you know I didn't finish last week, so we're going to pick up some of what we left off last week, recognizing that some of it will be review. But as you know, I do like to review. I'd like to make sure, it's more important to me that we learn, and we often learn by repetition. So we want to keep repeating things that are important things to do. Today, I was just picking up on where we were last week. Man and the need for freedom. Man and the need for freedom. What we tried to share with you last week, bondage has many forms. And people are born in bondage. It's not something you just lightly enter into, though in some situations we do enter into it ourselves. Sometimes we look at things that seem so good at first. Then once you enter into them, you realize, oh, no. And that's when you know you're trapped. And you can almost feel like I used to give you the illustration of this, that it was like this was a great hall down through here. And as you're going through life and this walk that you have through life, as you're walking through that, it's like there are open doors every place. You walk down through the aisle, and as you're going through life, you come across that open door. You peer inside. Should I go in? No, I'm going on with life. And we go on further down. We look inside here. Oh, that looks interesting. That could be fun. And we enter that one recognizing that's not a good activity for us to be involved in. But we come back to the door. And we're able to get out. And then we just keep passing back and forth. And as we pass back and forth, one day we come back to find the door, and it's not there. We're looking all over. What happened to the door? What happened to the door? And we realize we're trapped. Maybe it was one of the fellows here was going along just surfing at porn, and it looked kind of interesting at first, and you went through the door. And you backed out back again. That doesn't feel right. Went through the door again and another time and another time. And one day you came and noticed there's no door back out of there. I'm caught. I'm trapped. Maybe it was about lying. You learned that if you lie to protect yourself, it works. And you walk through the door. And then, you felt so bad about it. So you walk back out and you say, I'll just go on with life. But you come back to that door and another situation comes up where you got to do it again. So you tell another lie. And then one day you go to the door and it's not there. Now you got to go to try to remember what lie did I tell and how do I cover it up and how do I, and you realize you're caught. It was a simple thing right at first. But let me tell you, bondage is a hard taskmaster. It doesn't just let you go. It keeps you there. And you'll live with the guilt and denial and guilt and denial and guilt and just destruction. Find it real difficult to get back out on the path again. Christ came for our freedom. Christ came to set us free. And because He came to set us free, we want to be participants with that. As Galatians is going to tell us, stand fast in the liberty with which Christ saved you and gave you liberty. He set you free. Stand fast in that. Don't get entangled again in the yoke of bondage. So what we want to learn are the principles. What are the principles of freedom? What did He want us to know about? So let's consider this. Bondage is a hard taskmaster. And it has many forms. As I tried to share with you last week, there is spiritual bondage. There is physical bondage. There's financial bondage. There's habitual bondage. That's bondage where we just have habits that we keep doing over again. And there's political bondage. There's all kinds of bondages there, but we're at least going to work with those six. God uses it to motivate one to desire something different. I want you to consider with me just the responses that have come to it. Israel, I'll say Jacob and his family Israel, when I'm referring to that, knew that they had been given the promised land. That was theirs. That had been handed down now for three generations. They knew it was there. But one moment, one need in a life brought Jacob down to Egypt. And when it came down to Egypt, all he had to do was get their life squared away, get some products, and go back to the promised land. But they did not go back. And as they stayed there, it became 10 years, 20, 50, 100, 120, 150, 200. They looked for a door and it was gone. No way back out of there. And it came to be 400 years. As it came to that generation finally said, "Oh, the burden is heavy on us. This bondage that we're in is killing us." And they cried out for delivery. You see, God used that bondage to motivate them to want to be back in the promised land. They had a land. They had a place to be. It was supposed to be a place of blessing, a place to bless all nations. They had a land, but they were living far from it. And they would need delivery. They cried out to God. Now they're ready to be delivered. You follow me? Now they're ready to get back into the land that God had prepared for them. Now they're ready to face the enemies that were there. That's their land. They can go home. God uses it that way, and that's just one illustration. I think some of you have probably seen that God used a bondage you were in to motivate you. Maybe it was debt. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it was something that God motivated you. Once you realized you were in that thing, God motivated that for you to want something different. I'm always amazed at the number of people who get saved from a particular thing, and boy, from there on, they are like bulldogs. They want everybody to know about that. They want everybody free from that. They want to get away. They want everybody delivered because they know what that thing does, the damage that it does. And they want you to know. I don't care whether it's alcohol, drugs, whatever it is, porn, whatever. They want somebody delivered. And they become bulldog tenacious to get that thing done. Okay. Freedom will always involve coming to the knowledge of the truth. This is what we looked at last week. Jesus said, matter of fact, just keep your finger right here in Romans 6 a minute. Let's go over to John chapter 8 because I want you to see what our Lord Jesus Christ had to say. It was our Lord who taught us the principles of freedom. He came to set us free. He came looking for those that were prisoners and captive. And that's what we tried to show you last week from the prophecies that have been given. In John chapter 8, verses 32 to 36, we find our Lord Jesus saying this. And you, let's pick up verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." So his word has something to do about being disciples. Now watch what it says. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Now that comes from abiding in his word. Okay. So if you stick to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, you stick to what he had to say, you'll be his disciples. And in being his disciples, you'll come to know the truth. And that truth will make you free. He went on to say, they answered him, and we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. That's an odd thing to say, isn't it? Since they are now under Roman occupation. But he goes on to say, how can you say you were made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Anybody in here ever committed sin? Three of you. Wow. I know that's kind of a facetious question because obviously we all have. What does that make us then? Yeah, and slaves of sin. Does it not? All right, let's go on further. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Now look. It involves, first of all, for there to be freedom, you have to come to the knowledge of the truth. You have to know what's really true. And the problem is we're coming into a world without that knowledge. We're coming into a world ignorant. Everybody okay with me okay on that? We're coming into the world ignorant. And we're coming into the world, as we'll see in a moment, born blind. We are born enslaved. So we're coming into the world without enough information to get free. But God gave us information. That's why it's such a beautiful thing that you have a Bible. You have the Word of God. You have the words of Jesus. You have the words that can make you free. These are the words that have been setting generations of free people. These are the words that have been setting people free since the beginning. All right. But let me go on with you further. Letter A under number 2. Acknowledge you're in bondage and you want out. You come to know the truth, and wow, in seeing the truth, you realize, I'm in bondage. I didn't even know I was in bondage. Now, some of us, we did know. And Jesus makes a call to those people. He says, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, there are some of you who already know you're in bondage. There are some of you who already know you're in trouble. There are some of you who know that you don't have a way out. But you come to me, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, you'll learn about me. You'll learn about how to be free. Okay? So acknowledge you're in bondage and that you want out. Israel finally, as we tried to share with you a few moments ago, Israel finally acknowledged they're in bondage. This wasn't just a good time they were involved in, not just a different land they were involved in, just not a new way of doing things. They were in bondage. They were slaves. And then they cried out. They wanted out. All right. Letter B. God's way is the only way. Now, Moses tried to deliver them when he was still living in Egypt. He just killed an Egyptian. And he thought there might be some way that he could pay attention to the children of Israel, some way he might be able to negotiate a simple way out. Ultimately, that wasn't God's way at all. God would have to take him 40 years to the other side of the desert and let him learn what life was really about. God had to take him away from his current situation and take him to a situation where he could train him and teach him. And then he would go back to Egypt and he would know that God's way is the only way. It wouldn't be long till even the captors knew God's way is the only way. Pharaoh didn't want to admit it, but he had to finally come to the admission, God's way is the only way these people are ever going to get out of here. Because I'm bound to determine to kill them. I'm bound to determine to take them back again. He wound up dying. God's way is the only way. All right? So you got to come to that knowledge. Letter C, trust God for freedom and success. Trust God for freedom and success. If you're going to get out of this thing, you're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to get past. Look, how's it? Einstein said, if we keep on doing things the same way we've been doing them, you're going to get the same results. And to keep doing that same thing that you've been doing over again, just like you've been doing, getting the same results, is called insanity. Why would you keep on doing it? You're going to get the same results all the time. So something's going to have to change. And you start that change by the Creator. Doesn't that make sense? Doesn't that make sense? You go back to the owner's manual. You go back to the guide. You go back to where it all starts from. You read there. There's the knowledge of the truth. Good enough. Now I recognize I'm in bondage. I really want out. What am I going to do? I'm going to say God's way is the only way. This is what God says. Why not just do it that way? I'm trusting God. I don't know how to get out of this mess, but I am trusting you for freedom and success. And then it's a plea for mercy. One of the ways you show that you are trusting God fully is you're crying out to Him for grace. You're crying out to Him for mercy. You're admitting, I don't know how to do it by myself. Humility says I don't. I know that you do, and I want to be a part of you. I'm trusting you, and I'm crying out to you for that. And then we've said that the principle is sacrificial action follows. You have to change something. You can't keep doing things the same way you're doing, you're going to get the same results. So some sacrificial action is going to have to happen. We'll talk to you in a minute how Jesus said that. So let's go directly into freedom from spiritual bondage. Freedom from spiritual bondage. I'm going to start with that one. Why? Because that's the most important freedom. That's only through Christ. Look, if a man's not in a right relationship with his Creator, do you realize it doesn't matter what other freedoms he has? Because ultimately, the Creator is the one you got to face. So if you could be financially free, if you were smart enough to make all kinds of wise financial decisions, and you could be financially free, yet you didn't have your soul in the right relationship with God, when the dying time comes, you're going to leave it behind. Then you're going to face Almighty God. So spiritual bondage and spiritual freedom, the most important of them all. Jesus said it this way. What profit is it if a man should gain the whole world and lose his soul? It wouldn't make any difference if you were part of the best political party and did the best political things. If your soul was lost, you're lost. That's a forever thing. That goes on without end. As I was trying to tell my Sunday school class this morning, there was a point when you never were. But there'll never be a point where you never are again. There was a point when you didn't exist. And then you did. But once you were born in this world, there'll never be a dying going on again. Regardless of whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, you're going to live forever someplace. Spiritual bondage. Let's note this. It's only through Christ. Look, I'm not trying to be exclusivist here. I know this is the big time in which everybody's got to learn to be inclusive. We want to get everybody in there. Look. There's one simple way. There's only one creator. You follow me? And that one creator is the creator of all people. And he created all that stuff through the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that exists, he created through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's determined that this same Jesus Christ is the one who's going to redeem it. And he's determined that this same Jesus Christ is the one who's going to inherit it. There isn't another. That's not some exclusivist thing. This is the Creator speaking to His creatures. There is one way. Here's the way I'm delivering you. It's through my Son. So Jesus says it this way. I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, look, that's not this church's view of how to keep everybody else out. We don't have the freedom to determine who can be in and who can't. It's not our gospel. It's not our church. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what He said. No man comes to the Father except through me. So I'm not trying to be mean or cruel or any other thing. I'm just telling you truthfully, for your own safety's sake, it's only through Jesus Christ. It can't be done another way. There's not option number 6, option number 19. There's one. Note this, we were born blind. Born blind. Anybody ever watch puppies born? You know those little puppies, they come out of there, and their little eyes all squinted shut and everything. Looking, rooting, doing everything they can. They want to try to find, where is the source of food? Where can it be? And they finally get attached and everything, but they still wander around blindly, dumbly. Do you realize that's the way He sees us? We're born blind. Why? Because we can't see God. We can't see what He's wanting because we're born blind. And we stumble around in the darkness. How do you get over being born blind? You receive the truth. Receive the truth. There are several occasions in which Jesus was healing blind people. And when He did, I remember one, He says, hey, what would you like to have? Well, Lord, that I can see. Okay. He had to find out, do you really want to be delivered? Do you really want out of it? Or have you been used to living in your blindness in such a way that you know that if people will just take you to a certain location every day, sit there, you'll have an income. People give to that, and you can be comfortable with the income you've been given. No, you're not going to get rich by any stretch of imagination, but you can have bread and you can have... Is that the existence He wanted for us? No. We're born blind. When we receive the truth, our eyes get open. And now I begin to see what else is going on here. As we put it here, a man acts upon what he believes to be true. Without truth, he is robbed of sight and cannot please God. So this guy, we're coming into this world blind and we're behaving blindly. We're behaving like blind people. As blind people, you're led along. You are pretty much at the mercy of whoever is giving out information. If somebody tells you to turn right, then you're going to have to trust that person and turn right. If someone's going to tell you, watch out for the chair that's right in front of you, as a blind person, you're going to have to trust that that person knows what he's talking about, and you watch out for that chair that's in front of you. You're kind of at the mercy of all the other people, aren't you? Whoever's willing to talk to you. You're kind of at the mercy of what you think you can grope around and feel. But can I say this? We learn to live that way, and we become comfortable with that way until somebody shows us the truth. And when somebody opens our eyes, oh, there are colors in this world. There are actual images in this world. And you begin to see things you had not seen before. Listen, when you come to the truth of God's Word, you're going to begin to see things you didn't see before. You begin to understand things the way you didn't understand them before. That's why you've got to come to the truth. Okay? A man's going to act on whatever he believes to be true. And if you're believing a lie, you'll live on a lie. If you're going to believe that God somehow created junk and that you are a total failure, you're going to act on being a total failure. You follow that? If you've been told all your life you're a total loser and that's what you believe to be true, I'm promising you that's what you'll live on. If you've been afraid of everything you've ever done in your life, if you've been think you've been a failure at everything you've done, I promise you, because that's what you believe to be true, that's what you're going to do. You'll always live that way. Until you come to the truth. And you'll know that God made you in His image. And that God gifted you. And God gave you things to do. And God had a purpose for you. And God had a reason for you to be here. And He's calling you to that reason. He's calling you to that purpose. And you really come to life. That's freedom. We are born enslaved. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3 reminds us that you who were dead in sins and trespasses had been made alive. For we operated under the power of the prince of the power of the air. We were born enslaved, as we've seen here in Romans 6, 16 to 23. And we'll be back there again. Just listen to what he had to say. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, that you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Our slavery takes us someplace. It always has an end goal. Our slavery will lead something. If you're going to be enslaved to sin, it always will lead to death. There's not another option. There's not another direction it can go. The wages of sin is death. Though there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is no way to live a slave of sin without coming to death. But by the same token, when we are set free, we are made to be the slaves of righteousness. But I don't want to get ahead of myself here. He still lives, but he's dead to God. That man that's born enslaved still lives, but he's dead to God. He's able to be successful, but it has temporary value. Okay? It will not put him in a right relationship to God at all. Now, look, if we're always going to measure success on the basis of what somebody has earned, what somebody has been able to accumulate, then we're going to miss the point. That's not what we were born for. There's nothing wrong with accumulating. There's nothing wrong with getting. There's nothing wrong with earning things. That's not the problem. The problem is that's what we think we're for. We're going to come to the end not realizing I'm spiritually blind. I've been born in enslavement. I am bound in that sin. It's killing me. And you'll come to the point of facing God and know full well you never were a free person. And that same bondage is costing you everlasting life. So, let's take a look at this. Can't be in a right relationship with God. So what's the first thing a person has to do to be free in spiritual bondage? Listen to and receive the truth. Listen to and receive the truth. Now, if you're here today for the first time, I want you to listen to this. Listen very carefully. And it, let me say it a different way. Have you ever listened and not listened? Maybe not. Let me take it away from personal and let's take it to those silly children that we had. Amen? That doesn't feel near so personal that way. Have you ever? No, I'm not. I'm going to take it to a husband. Let me ask you this, wives. Have you ever said to your husband, while he's right in the middle of some Packers game? Oh, no, that's too personal. Almost, never mind that, all right? He's sitting right in the middle of some football game, and you want to sit down and have a conversation with him, okay? So you say to him, honey, no response. Could I ask you a question? Response, sure. Did you know that your arm is on fire? Yeah. You going to do anything about it? Yeah. Just a minute, honey. In just a minute. You know what I'm talking about? He did hear you. But he didn't hear you. When we're talking about the truth, you really need to hear. Not like our children here. As a parent, have you ever said this? How many times have I told you? You ever heard that before? Never? Okay. You've said that before, have you not? Is it because your children are brain dead? Somebody said, yes, stop that. No, they heard you, but they didn't hear you. You understand what I'm saying? Obviously, or they would have responded, wouldn't they? Now, here's what Jesus is saying. Hear the truth. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You better pay attention to what I'm saying. This is critical. This is important to you. So when I'm speaking about this very way to become spiritually free, I'm saying better listen and better pay attention. It's not just let the words slide over your head and say that's just so much theological nonsense, because I know you're going to stay right in spiritual bondage. So listen and pay attention to the truth. Listen and receive the truth. Letter D, acknowledge that you are in bondage, you want out. That's back to the whole simple system. What do you need to do? You need to come to the point of saying, I know I'm a sinner. I know I have violated every law of God. I know I'm a liar. I know I'm a thief. I know I'm an adulterer. I know, just announce it, say it, get it to the point where you're acknowledging that's true. Do you want out? I thought it was so interesting. He asked the blind guy, do you want your sight? Do you want out? Can I tell you, honestly, there are some people who don't want out. They don't want out. They're comfortable in their bondage. And to their own demise, they're going to stay there. It's going to cost them eternity. Make sure you want out. Letter E, understand that God's way is the only way. Jesus Christ is the only way. You cannot rescue yourself. Jesus Christ is the only way. It's about a person. It's about putting a trust in a person. It's not about you saying, then if I just give more to the church, it'll be, no, that won't do a thing. Well, if I join a church, that won't do a thing. Well, if I become a part of a Bible study, that won't do a thing. Like it's healthy for you to do all those things. That'll never set you spiritually free. You're going to have to trust Jesus, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Letter F, make an earnest plea for mercy, for humility. Cry out to Him, Lord Jesus, save me. Save me. I know I cannot save myself. I know I have offended You. Save me. Then trust God for freedom and success. Look, I'm just going over the principle. You know the principles are right there. Trust God for freedom and success. You've got to trust Him. This ultimate thing is you're putting all your eggs in that one basket. You're putting your whole life there. I am trusting God that God will give me freedom and God will give me success in what I'm about to do here. And sacrificial action. Sacrificial action. Listen to the way Jesus said, grace is free, but it's not cheap. Sometimes people make the whole of our being saved cheap. And here's what I mean by that. It's no cost to you. You don't have to worry about anything. You know, your sin's paid for in full, so just go on living the way you have been living with the knowledge that somehow you've been forgiven. Here's what Jesus said. It is a sacrificial action. And I know this is going to be important because, you know, I think you know as well as I do. People do like a difficult challenge. People don't respond just to things that are easy. When people really want something, they're willing to accept the difficulties that are in it. So Jesus said it this way. Is it my grace, is it my forgiveness that you're really wanting? Because I'm offering it to you. Cheap. Or inexpensive to you. But it's not cheap. It's going to cost me my life. Do you want that? Then He said, if anyone wants to come after Me, anyone wants to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Quit following your own agenda. It's not about your agenda anymore. Deny yourself. You're not God anymore. You're not the sovereign anymore. You're not the leader anymore. You're in trouble. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. There's a cost to this, kids. There's a cost to it. Grace is free. But there's a cost to following Jesus. And we of all people need to be acknowledging that and following that. Okay? Let's go on to freedom from habitual bondage. If you're getting the idea, you begin to see that this is just going to be the same pattern over and again. Yes, it is. But I want you to know that we are caught by our habits. I think habits are fun, a wonderful thing. Just seeing how habits work in us. I can brush my teeth anymore without thinking about it. Anybody else do that? How many of you could drive here without almost thinking about it? Yeah. You've been here a number of times. You know how to do it. Why does it happen that way? How many of you, when you wake up, recognize the room you're in? Isn't that amazing? Think with me just for a moment. When you go to sleep at night, if you didn't have this special thing happen in your brain, when you woke up in the morning, you'd have no idea where you're at. You'd have to learn it all over again. But you want to hear something that's wonderful that God has done for us? God has put within us, right down in this little area right here, inside our brain, this little mechanism that records our thought patterns. So that I pick up my toothbrush with my left hand. I put the toothpaste on with my right hand. Now, of course, if you're left-handed or right, you understand where I'm coming from. I put it on my right hand. I put the toothpaste back down. I pick the toothbrush back up with my right hand, and I give her the charge. And I do a certain pattern of rinsing it all off. I do a certain pattern. Why do I do that? Because right inside here, it has been recorded for me so I don't have to think it over every day. It's there. Now, look, habits are not moral or immoral. The process is not moral or immoral. What I get into a habit of doing is, and there are some habits you ought to have. If you have the habit of telling truth and being a very positive person that builds up everybody else, may your tribe increase. But if you're one of those people that every time you walk into a room, you are going to be critical of everything in it, you are going to be a person that lies about everything, you're going to be a person that just puts everybody down, I hope that Jesus Christ crucifies you. And you get to die to that. You understand where I'm coming from? I hope that you can finally see that is so nasty. And that you finally come to the truth. You're wondering why it is that people just are so stupid they can't get along with you. Maybe it's you. You follow that? Maybe you've developed a habit over the years of being so horrible that nobody can get along with you. What if you come to the truth one day and say, what if it's me? What if I'm the problem? After you go through the initial devastation of finding out it's you, you've at least came to the truth. And coming to the truth, you've got to ask yourself a question. Do I want out? Do I want out? So you can fill in your blanks there. You can see where it's coming from. Listen and receive the truth. Listen, if you've got somebody that loves you enough to face you and say, do you know that nobody can get along with you because you are so critical, you are so sharp with your tongue, you're impossible to get along with. If you had somebody that loved you enough to come and tell you that, don't slap them. Give them a nice big hug and say, thank you. I didn't know that, but now I do. You've listened to and received the truth. You acknowledge that you are in bondage and you want out. That's right. Because you have trained your mind to think that same thing over and over again, and you repeat that pattern, and you just came to the realization, I can't stop that pattern. Come to the knowledge of the truth. Acknowledge that you're in bondage and acknowledge that you want out. Understand that God's way is the only way. You cannot rescue yourself. You're not going to get yourself out of it. But through Jesus Christ, you can. Make an earnest plea for mercy. God, help me. I see what I'm doing. I have hurt all my friends. I've wounded all my friends around me. And that's just one habit. There's multiple habits. You understand where I'm coming from. I have wounded all the people around me. I'm hurting myself. I'm hurting my family. I'm hurting other people. God, help me. I can't do it myself. I don't know how to stop me. Trust God for freedom and success. There's a point where you're just going to have to say, God can do it, and I'm trusting Him fully for it. God will deliver me. Because that's what God's in the business. Nobody does things like God does. Amen? What a perfect God who can take these people and change us in a moment. Then there's a sacrificial action. Do you realize you're going to have to stop doing that thing? It's going to be a sacrifice because you're comfortable with it. You're familiar with it. Been doing it. And you're not familiar with whatever the new thing might be. What's going to happen if I make an attempt now to go into a room and say something nice to people? What are they going to do? I don't know if I want to do that or not. Those people are going to call for 911 right away and have me checked in because they know something really wrong with that boy today. He came in saying something nice. Look, habits don't change because you try to stop them. Because God put that in there so that you wouldn't forget your way home. You wouldn't forget what residence you're living in. You wouldn't forget where you put the butter. You wouldn't forget. You understand what I mean? And you're going to keep doing it because that's what's there. You're going to have to put a new pattern in its place. And that's why He said the principle is put off, put on. Don't lie to each other anymore, but in its place, speak the truth with love. Don't steal anymore, but instead now is stealing put in its place, earn a living, and giving away. Because that's going to start a whole new pattern in the way you do things. God wants you to live free. And free people make a difference in the world. Free people are the people who can change the culture they're in, even if it's just that one. You follow me? One person can make a difference. You can influence other people around you and they make a difference. Brothers and sisters, all life is precious. It's too precious to waste on failure. It's too precious to waste on bondage. It's too precious to waste on cruelty. We need a people who will rise up as a free people and say, this is how it changes. This is how it changes. And I'm there. I will be that person. I'm going to change the direction of things. Father, thank you so much for giving us life. We know you're the author of life and that you love life. And we praise you today for the love that you have for each one of us. Thank you, Father, that you made us to be the people who reveal what you're like. I know there's going to be opposition, Father. I know there is, because you said there would be. You said that if we'd live godly in Christ Jesus, there would be opposition. Hallelujah, Father. For that will be proof that we're on the right track. Thank you for what you're going to do in each one of us just now, in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Listen, we are a people who have been gifted, empowered, authorized to represent the Son of God, to represent the kingdom that is coming. We need to be about the business, courageously, not afraid of people, doing what's right. We need to be a free people. Live free this week. Love God and live free. Charlotte, thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate the ministry, Mosaic. Make sure you pick up a baby bottle on your way out. Fill that thing up. Bring it back next week. Take another one. Let's see how much we can raise just for the glory of God to be able to save another life. Don't you just love that? I know I do. And I know that you do too. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for letting us be here. Thank you for the gift of love. Thank you for the gift of Christ. Thank you for the gift of everlasting life. Thank you that we are such a blessed people. Help us to go from this place, Father, as a blessed people, to bless everybody around us. Open new avenues of the gospel to be spoken, Father. And give us new people who are trusting in Jesus Christ, who are rescued or finally free, that this enslavement would be over. And I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, give us victory over the habits that have grabbed us. Father, open that door back for us again that we might be set free from that, never to go back in that room again. Thank you for what you'll do and the way you'll do it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll look to see you this evening, 6 o'clock.